But first, how are you planning on spending the bank holiday weekend? For many, it's a chance to get stuck into a DIY project about the house, but spare a thought for Johnny Gleeson and Gillian Richardson from County Carlow. They are not just putting up a few shelves, oh no, they are in the middle of transforming an 1880s a granite grain store into their very first home. Now, many young people out there are looking for homes. The cost of housing is rising and 41% of under 35s are still living at home. So it's not surprising that major renovation projects like this are becoming more and more popular. And of course, to go with that popularity, there are vacant and derelict housing grants available that could potentially help out. But if you are thinking about renovating a house and applying for these grants, there are terms and conditions. And not every vacant or derelict building will qualify, as Johnny and Gillian have discovered. Now, I travelled to meet them at the renovation project near Tullow in County Carlow to learn more about their situation. They've kept the costs right down by doing a lot of the work themselves, so that as I turned off the lane, I could hear the digger at work with Johnny at the helm and see the elegant Victorian granite grain store in all its glory. Dating back to the 1880s, the building has most recently been used to store the farm's quad bikes, but the couple are determined to bring it back to life. A worthwhile but costly endeavour.
We've been used for storing grain.
Oh! Is there writing up there in those beams?
Yeah. I can see those names like Marty Dwyer, August 23rd, 1912. So Harry Wrangell, 28th, 1944. Michael Story, Haid Lodge.
So this building is local history.
Yeah, it would have been.
Some of the names still around, like Quirk, Smith. They're local names, yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
And you've got new windows which are lovely and fit really well, but you've got a couple of really big glass windows, so Dermot Bannon would approve.
Yeah. They're just such lovely views out, even across the fields, looking out at the sheep, and even the hills in the distance, the Shalala Hills, I think.
Given the derelict state of the building when the pair took it on, they applied for the vacant property grant, worth €50,000. But it's not good news.
We haven't been rejected, it's just sitting there, but we're not eligible, as agricultural buildings don't seem to qualify under the grant. If it was a school, if it was a church, if it was an old shop, it would qualify, but the inspector came out from the county council, came out and had a good look around, and he said even if we had some sort of chimney or fireplace, proved that it was lived in some way, but we can't.
We couldn't prove it was definitely lived in, so...
I mean, what were they looking for? Exactly, what would have been like definitive proof?
I think a chimney, like if it definitely had a chimney, you were elected, like, and
it's public money, they have to justify it, and we understand that. We're hope, you never know. I'd like to see it if it changed, that agriculture buildings were included. Not for us, I think we're probably gone past it.
Yeah.
But for someone else who would like to do it, give them that chance.
So it's hard to find housing in rural Ireland, close to your families, close to where you want to live.
Yeah, because I actually have a friend who is looking to buy in Carlow. I think there's maybe 15 to 20 properties for sale. And to rent, there's very little as well. So it's hard. People want to live in Carlow.
It's a beautiful county, why wouldn't you?
I love it, I'm biased.
We had that going
for a destructive.
We were lucky to get the Build Heritage Grant for the roof, which was applied to the County Council as well, just when we started the building, and we stripped the old roof, we put back on the blue bangers, and that was
so the proper original style slates.
Yeah, they all went back on.
We actually already had blue bangers on it, so we managed to salvage 60% of them.
Yeah, I managed to salvage about 60% of them, which is good, and then we replaced the rest, and like the cast iron gutters that are up there now, they're all covered in the grant and the downpipes.
I guess in terms of costs, I know it's a delicate question, but do you have a rough idea in mind of how much it's going to cost you to make this a livable home for you both?
Me being able to get my hands in and stuck in will definitely help to bring the cost down. But we're probably like we're on the same budget as building a house out of the ground, and that is true. Gillian was gifted it, so that helps. That was a big help at the start.
Are we around the 250 mark?
Oh yeah, well, that's the hope. Yeah,
yeah,
okay. That's the hope now.
We'll end on 250,000 hopefully.
We're under budget, but that's because you and your dad have done a hell of a lot. Yeah.
It would have been nice, though, I imagine, to get the grant, because then you would have nearly been under the 200,000, which probably would have helped a lot with your mortgage and doing other bits and pieces.
Oh yeah, like if we got the grant, it would have been great. Like, I feel sorry for couples that maybe took on an old building or took on an old house and they were reliant on the grant nearly. They went into the process with, oh, we get the grant for so much. We kind of started this without ever thinking about the grant, and the grants came on board. But it would have been great. It would have definitely been great. But it's kind of a shame, because anyone we talked to said, like, these old buildings are the ones that should be saved. And I know a few buildings around that would have got the grants, and you're like, it's just been an old rack or a ruin, like, and they're getting it. It's a modern ruin, like, it's been left for 20 years, and that's after getting the grant. But you could put it away, like, oh, they'd rather see this cut granite buildings fall to the ground than give a grant on them. So, look, we heard word that there might be a possible review on them. Oh, we want to get the plaster work done. So we actually got the lime plaster and the cork insulation on. That's a big job. There's about 2 inches of that all on the inside of the building. So that was what we're going to put in for the grant, like, and that wasn't a cheap process, and that would have been a huge help. But it didn't come about, like.
So what have you learned? What advice would you give to any other young couple out there who might have an old building like this on their family farm?
I love the building so much, even more than I did. I'm so glad we've done it. So don't be afraid to take that leap, because it did scare us to do it.
Yeah, like, it did.
It's an unknown.
But there's such a wealth of knowledge out there now, like, so we've started this process and even get messages on Instagram and all, or who'd you get for that job, how did you do this, what products you use, like, there's a wealth of knowledge out there, and there's probably people thinking about the mobile buildings. I know even my own friend group, there's 2 or 3 of the people in that friend group that have old buildings on the farms, and they're like, oh, I must call them and see yours, and then they come down like, oh, I'm definitely going to do that at home and stuff, like, so it's just one of them things, like, if you have the opportunity and you want to be in the area, you want to be in rural Ireland, it's a great opportunity.
And that was Johnny Gleeson and Gillian Richardson there, renovating an old building to make their new home. And I'm delighted to say that I'm joined now by Deirdre Swords, who's the vacant property officer with Mayo County Council, and by Dominic Keogh, a stonemason. Good morning to you both. Deirdre, I'm going to come straight to you. So that was Johnny and Gillian, who applied for a grant under the Vacant and Derelict Property Grant Scheme. It's a very popular grant scheme, especially in Mayo, which is, of course, the second largest county in Ireland. But can you explain exactly how much money each of them is worth and how people can be eligible to apply for them as well?
Okay. I can appreciate where the couple are coming from, and the story really resonates, you know, when I hear what they're going through and how hard they're working, so fair play to them. I suppose in terms of the grant was set up just over 2 years ago, and there's 2 elements to the grant. You can apply for the grant if you have a vacant property, and that's to the value of €50,000. If your property is derelict, and for the purposes of the grant, that means that it's structurally unsound or unsafe, you can get a top up on top of the vacant grant, and your grant can come to €70,000. For any county that's rural, like Mayo, we have islands, there is an additional 20% added to your grant, because obviously the cost of materials and trades are increased because of the islands. While the eligibility is quite broad, agricultural buildings aren't currently eligible. And as the couple said, the grant currently is under review. We're not sure what it's going to look like. Hopefully it'll be targeted when it comes back. We're hoping kind of late this year we'll hear if there is any changes. But in terms of people thinking, right, I have a property, I'm in rural Ireland, or you're in a town and village in rural Ireland. If the property is 24 months vacant, if it was built before 2007, that's the core eligibility. Kind of the rest of it, we would say to applicants, is kind of paperwork. If you're willing to live in it as your primary principal residence, the grant is for you. If you're willing to rent it, the grant is for you. There is a 10-year kind of clawback that you must live in it for 10 years, you must rent it for 10 years. But yeah, like you say, because of the huge numbers in applying, eligibility isn't an issue, and it's really seen as a you know, a real positive, and we're delighted when the grant set out originally, it was actually only for towns or villages. And the minister quickly did a kind of U-turn a couple of months in and said, listen, this is for all locations.
Because
and
you're right, you know, that demand from rural Ireland is there for houses. You know, it's not just an urban issue. And I would like to talk about your own county because you're really spearheading it there. What has been the level of demand? How many applications have you had so far?
So we have 577 applications, and that would be within the 2-year timeframe. And I suppose we're working hard as well. One of the things that we're doing here in Mayo is that we go to the public, if you like, that we don't sit and wait for them to come, even though with the numbers you'd kind of think we don't need to be. But just like that couple were saying there, I think it's really important that people are aware of the grant as early in their thinking, you know, of buying or getting a property transferred. Like there'd be an argument to say that everywhere on the Western seaboard is rural, but the breakdown of our approved grants would be kind of 57% are absolutely rural and 43% would be within our towns and villages.
And there's quite a bit of money that you've paid out so far. And there's only four that have been refused so far out of all those applications, and quite a bit of money that you've paid out.
Yeah, yeah. So we're lucky, I suppose, because we're so visible and because we're, you know, people can come to us. The message is kind of very much trickling down through the communities and community groups and, you know, the networks within rural our rural communities around. This is a real option. We'd have a lot of applicants who are coming to us. There's an old house on the farm. You know, they would have traditionally kind of built the new house and, you know, it might be their uncles or their parents. And they're wondering, is this an option now? We're saying, absolutely, it can be your primary principal residence. You can transfer ownership to someone within your household and they move in. You know, it's really breathing life back into rural communities. And for, you know, the farming community in Mayo, I guess, like, it can be seen as an income stream as well because, you know, with tight margins and small holdings, it's really working in terms of bringing a house back, but also provided rental property within a community.
Yeah, and I think it's probably important to say that, you know, people are always worried that potentially vulture funds or corporate funds could get involved in this. And there are things like you mentioned, the clawback there. And I think it's only 2 grants per individual who can apply. I might just bring Dominic in there because, you know, we talk about doing up old houses on farms or in rural areas and it can be a bit off-putting. But Dominic, you're a stonemason, so I imagine you have experience in this territory. But when people come to you first and they're talking about doing up an old property, what is their biggest concern? Is it, say, that a building has no foundation or they have no idea about what kind of lime to use? What are the questions that you're getting?
All of the above, Hannah, and a lot more with it. I suppose, I kind of get people coming to me that have had maybe a little bit of advice from different people, or they've gone down the route where maybe they've had an engineer out to have a look at the place or an architect. And in some cases, the people that they've had look at the place mightn't have as much experience with dealing with vernacular buildings or traditional buildings as somebody who's kind of boots on the ground. And so they kind of put the frighteners on a lot of homeowners sometimes because, you know, obviously these houses in a lot of cases or agricultural buildings, they would have no foundations under them because that's just the way that they were built. And 99.9% of the traditional buildings in Ireland wouldn't have a foundation under them. And so it kind of jars with our modern building methods. So I'm kind of, I suppose, I kind of go in and try and calm the homeowners down and tell them that their beloved properties aren't going to fall into the ground, in the majority of cases anyway, and just give them a little bit of advice based on my experience about how to kind of progress and do what's right for the building, what's right for their budget, and bring the best of modern building practices in with traditional materials and methods. So I kind of have to walk the tightrope between what's best for the building and what's best for the client, I suppose. So it can be a bit of a shaky rope to navigate sometimes.
I can imagine as someone who grew up in an old house as well. I think a lot of us have memories of every time that it rained, the windows would weep, basically. But I guess, you know, in terms of cheap houses, and every time people would be looking on Daft or other websites and looking at homes in rural Ireland or other areas, and they see an old house and they think, oh, that might be a bit of a bargain. But I nearly always see now, scrolling down, that the auctioneer has, you know, oh, well, potentially the grant, you might be eligible to get the grant. I mean, what's your thoughts around that, about people getting a grant now to do up a home? What's the impact do you think it might be having?
Yeah, that's a very good point. I suppose, like, you know, I'm from Mayo originally, so I understand what Deirdre is saying there about the rural impact in Mayo. It's great, but it can be a bit scary as well, because it's overwhelming. And I'm currently living in Leitrim, so I mean these areas were historically places where cheap houses could always be found. Do you know, like within the 15,000 to 20,000, 30,000 bracket, you'd find some tumble down cottage that could be done up and made into a beautiful home. And I suppose with the danger of adding this tagline of eligible for the grant, it kind of puts this vision in people's minds when they're scrolling through and dreaming of their forever home, that they have this 50,000 to 70,000 in the bank already. And it can be a dangerous thing to have in the back of your head. I mean, as Johnny and Gillian, their story, as they outlined very, very well there, you know, you really have to be careful that you don't factor that in too much into your budget until you actually have it in the bank, because you do have to put that money out.
Yeah.
You know, you have to put that money out first, and then you can claw it back. So it can be the cause of a lot of that housing stock being kind of jumped on, and the prices inflating. Which, you know, I suppose I'm always a little bit terrified of that, because I can't protect all of the old buildings that I want to, and some of them just get a modern 2024 bungalow shoehorned into a traditional structure.
Hey, some people like a bungalow. There's some bungalow bliss out there. Don't worry.
No, that's a whole different department altogether. I can't get involved in that.
No, but Dominic, no, thank you very much for that. And I guess there's a lot of interest out there. And next weekend, you will be running a course in Manor Hamilton on traditional building skills. So there is an appetite out there, and people can book as well. I think it's the Irish Architectural Inventory. That course is booked out, but you'll probably have other ones as well. Deirdre, just coming back to you briefly, I know you're a huge advocate for this, and I guess, you know, Dominic raised some concerns there, and I guess a lot of people would have those, but you would encourage people to look for it. And I guess, what's the turnaround in terms of just payment, just to finish on, when people have built their house, how quickly would you aim to be paying them the money if they tick all the boxes?
Yeah, so once they finish their renovation works, like if they're going for a primary principal residence, they'll be in, and there'll be very little paperwork after that. It's an inspection. It can literally take 2 to 3 weeks from when an inspection, from when final claim kind of comes in to when an inspection takes place. And that clawback that we talked about, that protects the kind of the public coffers, that you will do what you said, that takes a little bit of time. So in and around a month from when you've completed your works. And bear in mind for applicants as well that you can apply for the SEAI grants as well as the vacant property grants.
Lovely.
So they can also kind of support you in terms of your budget and making it, more sustainable.
Plan ahead would probably be a key there. So plenty of food for thought. So Deirdre Swords, thank you so much. Vacant Homes Officer with Mayo County Council, and Dominic Gough, stonemason at momentummorestone.ie. And we did get a statement from the Department of Housing as well, saying that in terms of agricultural buildings, they're keeping it under review.